Well, as the Tallahassee and Capital City regional area gets ready for a visitor from the South, we take a little time out to talk about happier things here on WFSU-FM. It's Thursday. That means time for Perspectives, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for joining us via the airwaves or if you're live streaming. And if you would like to be part of the program, as always, you are more than welcome at 414-1234, the local number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance, twixt you and us, Perspectives at WFSU.org. And you can tweet us at WFSU Perspective. Hey, before we begin, also a reminder that at some point during this morning's program, we're going to be cutting away for just a few minutes for Governor Rick Scott's appearance at the State Emergency Operations Center here in Tallahassee. We'll get an update on Tropical Storm Elmin, and then we'll get back to our conversation about the Working Well Initiative, now marking its 10th year in Tallahassee. And let's go around and meet some of the folks who are associated with the program and what it means to anyone who works. So we'll say hi first, going from my left, your right on the radio, Dr. Patrick Smith, D.C. of Smith Family Chiropractic. Good to see you, Patrick.
Good to be here.
We also have Becca Gilbert, Senior Manager of Marketing and Business Development for Thomas Howell Ferguson. Becca, good to have you.
Good morning.
All righty. Right next door, we have Mary Waller, Business Health and Wellness Manager at Capital Regional Medical Center. How's it going, Mary?
It's great. Great to be here.
Okay. Good to see you, too. And our guiding light of Working Well, Mary Barley, Health and Wellbeing Coordinator for Leon County and the Executive Director of Working Well. How's it going, Mary?
It's going great. Thanks for having us again,
Tom. Oh, it is so wonderful to see you. And for the benefit of those folks who maybe had not even heard of Working Well, although it seems very difficult to even imagine that with the amount of publicity you've been able to generate for the program over these many years, 10 of them as a matter of fact. How did this whole thing get started?
There's an organization called Wellness Councils of America, and they had an initiative called Well City, where if 50% of the workforce got certified as a working or well workplace, you could get a gold recognition. If 30% got certified, you could get a silver. And if 2015 got certified, you could get a bronze. And we decided, there were a group of us, that got together and talked about it and decided that would be a good thing to go after and tried to do that. And then they dropped that initiative because of lack of manpower. And they said, just do your own thing. So we came up with the name Working Well and started for the first 3 years with just a group of like-minded people that wanted to get the workforce healthier. And then we went into becoming a nonprofit, and the rest is history.
Yeah, well, I remember that first CEO breakfast that you had for it, and there were some interesting folks there, but it was kind of a small bunch, really, in comparison to what we saw here just a little while ago, right?
True. Well, but the thing is, we had 50, and of all of the cities, really large cities across the country that had started that initiative with WellCOA, they had never had more than 30 people come up to their first CEO breakfast. So we exceeded that, like from cities like Jacksonville and Tampa and, you know, all sorts of areas that had done it. I think the tri-state area up in North Carolina had done it, but nobody had pulled that many people to the first CEO breakfast. And now we usually go between 150, 175, and we're shooting for 200 this year. So we just have a community that really cares about health and well-being.
Well, I remember, and I think, Mary Waller, the last time that you were in, we talked about this a little bit, too, having worked before getting back into radio in a large company, which at that time was the old Centel, the local telephone company. This was probably about 91, 92, somewhere. They began at that firm to have a corporate wellness initiative. It's called the Sunshine 100 Club. I remember it like it was yesterday. And you could compete for prizes and points and all that kind of thing if you walked so many kilometers or you exercised how many minutes a day and watched your weight and all that kind of thing. It went like a house of fire for maybe about 18 months, and then it just sort of piddled away. At Capital Regional, which, of course, is very healthy-oriented there, your program has continued and has prospered and even grown. How do you do that?
Well, actually, what I do as business health manager is I go out in the community and help other groups get their employee wellness program started. So there's still a lot of folks here in the local community that are doing employee wellness programs. And they've grown to having, health you know, starts out with health screenings and health risk assessments, but then moving towards doing some activities. And we just had one of our local speakers come and speak, Donna Moran at First Commerce Credit Union, at our Working Well roundtable, and talk about creating a culture of wellness. And that's what you try to do, is create a culture of wellness. And some of the stuff that we do at the hospital is, you know, we try to offer healthy options when we're having gatherings. You know, people always want to have, you know, cake and cupcakes. And, you know, we went around when we had our one of our hospital events in the evening, and we were handing out pedometers, you know, and folks were just as happy to get pedometers as they were to get a cookie. You know, so it's little things like that. But as you do them over time, you just start to tell people to start thinking about that healthy option and make it available. And one of the big things we're doing this year is walking. That's why we were handing out pedometers. So we're not just doing it with our employees, but also in the community through some community walks and partnering with some groups to do community walks around town.
It must be working, because you guys got a prize over there. I see it right behind you there.
Yes, we... you know, I said I'm wearing three hats today, because at Capital Regional Medical Center, we've been a big sponsor of Working Well. We see the benefit in working with some of these great employers around town and getting with their employees and their families. So it's a great to be a sponsor for them. We also always have a team that joins the Corporate Cup Challenge. We will hope to have five teams this year, and we've started a little challenge within a challenge where we have a little trophy here. It's called the Golden Bedpan, that's between the healthcare groups. And it's a little bit different in that we have to have an administrator on the team. So we've got two teams with administrators, so they're kind of already jawing with each other about who's going to do what. But we've got our chief Chief Executive Officer Mark Robinson, and our Chief Operating Officer Steve Gordon, and our Chief Financial Officer Kristen Dyer. She's going to be doing it. And unfortunately, our Chief Nursing Officer would have joined, but she's out of town that weekend. She already told me last weekend, I want to text you. You guys tell me who won. But we had a little competition with TMH, same thing. And whoever, you know, wins gets the Golden Bedpan, and we want to see some other teams out there. So I'm calling on Health South and Radiology Associates and some of those other groups to put together a healthcare team for that. And then my third hat is I'm serving as president of the Working Well Board. And so, you know, Patrick is also a board member, and I work with Mary, and we have a really awesome Working Well Board, and they've done a lot of work. So most of us are – we're all volunteers, so –
But what do you do with your incredibly abundant spare time? That's what I want.
I try to spend a little time with my mother and, you know, my family.
Well, you look at a big organization like Capital Regional or TMH or one of the other big ones, and you think, well, they got the resources and the people and everything to pull this off. But you get to something like Thomas Howell Ferguson, which, while it is a nice size firm, may not have the same thing. So, Becky Gilbert, how does it work in a place like yours?
Well, quite honestly, it worked with a challenge is how it all got started. Our managing shareholder, Winston Howell, sits on the hospital board for TMH. And after the winning team was paraded through one of their board meetings, and they showed off their trophy, and Winston came back to me and said, "You go take that trophy away from the hospital." And so, honestly, that started with a challenge. But what was really fun is, you know, you talk about these great wellness plans, and for somebody like our company, we have about 85 employees between two different offices, and it's pretty overwhelming to look at just a wellness plan as a whole. And so you think, okay, you know, let's eat the elephant one bite at a time. So where can we start? And so I would say that a couple of years ago, we started with just a few things to make some changes. And then adding in the Corporate Cup Challenge was really, it was another one more element, because now you hear our CPAs as they're going through these heavy tax seasons. They're like, okay, but I'm looking forward to being able to get out and run. And I'm looking forward to getting back to the bike. And so anyway, I would say it really all started, though, with that challenge.
And it's good to have, though, the backing from the folks who are in control of the organization.
Absolutely. It started at the top.
Yeah, that's a big help. Dr. Patrick, let me ask you that, you know, it's feel good and we got challenges and trophies and that kind of thing. But let's look at the rubber meets the road. Does it really, programs like this, make people healthier?
Oh, I think absolutely. And I think that you brought up a good point that it has to come from the top down, from the CEO and from the upper management, but it's also got to come from the staff and the employee. The day-to-day culture has got to be there so that there's follow-through and there's some staying power so that the things don't fizzle out like you were talking about, so that it becomes a part of their life and not just kind of a flash in the pan sort of thing.
Because we look at the stats that when it comes to even childhood obesity right now and type 2 diabetes and right. cardiopulmonary problems and all that, which are related very, very much to weight, unhealthy diet, lack of exercise, all that kind of thing. It really has a drain on not just employee morale, but also corporate productivity, right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's a new term that has come out now. It used to be absenteeism that employers were worried about, that people wouldn't show up for work. But now there's a new worry of what's called presenteeism, which is the person's at work, but they're not really there, right? They're either suffering with a health problem, their children may be suffering, so their mind is on other things and their productivity isn't where it should be. And not only does that affect the company, but it affects that person's ability to keep their job or be able to excel and be able to get promoted and be able to go further. So really we're finding that your health really does affect all aspects of your life, because without it, your relationships suffer, your work suffers. I mean, everything does.
And that, I'm sure, it makes the selling of the program a lot easier when it comes to those organizational leaders, when you can go in and say, look, you put this in place. Here's what you can expect as far as not just a reduction in absenteeism, but also more focus, increase in actually productive work, which is what everyone's looking for, right?
Yeah, there's got to be an aspect of what's in it for me kind of thing. There's got to be some benefit to following through with this, you know.
We're going to take a quick time out here, still waiting to hear from Governor Rick Scott over at the State Emergency Operations Center over there in Southwood as the approach of Tropical Storm Hermine. It's actually Hermine. I went on the web and found that it's a French word, as a matter of fact. So Hermine is the way we're supposed to say it. But we say Hermine because we are Americans, absolutely. And we'll get the latest on that. Apparently, forward speed has picked up a little bit, and we are expecting probably within the next 6 hours to really see the effects here in the capital city area. That's upcoming here. And the rest of our conversation with the Leading Lights of Working Well program here on Perspectives. You're invited to join the conversation at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Back on Perspectives on WFSU-FM, and we also make this program available to you online at WFSU.org. Just go to that address, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, click on Perspectives, and we archive past shows. Try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs. Do our best today. A little bit stretched thin with the upcoming coverage of the storm, and a reminder programmatically that we will be keeping this operation going throughout the evening hours, actually overnight and back into morning drive tomorrow, keeping you up to date on what's going on in regards to the storm and where the flooding situations are and power outages and all of that. We hope it's not bad, but we're on top of it just to keep you up on the latest as we go through this. But let's get back to happier stuff here, talking about the Working Well program. And Mary Barley, for those who have never been to a CEO breakfast, which is an annual event on here, the last one was just killer. Talk about that, would you?
Yeah, we couldn't believe it had been 10 years. It just seems like yesterday we started that. And every year it seems like the speakers just get better. We're just so blessed, and I was just laughing about how we get them. I don't know how we get them to come here for the fees that we pay them, but we really, really get good speakers. And last year we had David Honeycutt, who was the executive or the president, I guess, of WellCOA, Wellness Councils America, for 20 years. probably one of the best speakers I've ever heard. And the audience agreed. They were sitting on the edge of their seats. They didn't want him to stop talking. They wanted to hear more. And he's been back to Tallahassee twice since then already. He was that good. So, and he talked a lot about what Mary talked about, you know, which is the culture. And the thing that, you know, has kind of changed with worksite wellness is, to begin with, it was about the employer saying, this is what I need you to do for me to help cut health care costs. But, you know, over time, they realize that the organization is a critical part of the employee staying healthy, because if you go into a toxic environment every day for 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, and you're miserable when you get home, you're not going to have the energy to, you know, do anything healthy, whether it's take a walk, go to the gym, cook a healthy meal, work on your relationships. You're going to be screaming and yelling at everybody. So it's really interesting. The breakfast really kind of speaks to CEOs and senior level managers and HR directors a lot about, you know, how you make the organization healthier and create a better environment, so it's easier for the healthy choice to be the easy choice. So we're really proud of, you know, what the CEO breakfast, that people look forward to it every year, and that we have such a good turnout. And we're just really looking forward to this year. We're hoping to have an even more exciting speaker. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and that was something that really fascinated me about the Honeycutt presentation, because it was not just the typical, oh, exercise more, eat better, all of that sort of thing. It was more actually psychological, mm-hmm. and how that impacts the physiological. And you got to get that in place first before you can move on with all of these other things. If you are totally miserable, you don't want to get out and exercise.
You hit the nail on the head. There was just an article that just came through the other day saying that psychological well-being trumps culture every time. And this year, I just got back from a conference in Washington, D.C., and the hot topic now is mental health. And that's not mental illness, but it's probably more emotional health, you know, looking at how you help your employees deal better with, you know, stress and all those things. Because if that piece isn't in place, it's very difficult for an individual to do healthy things for themselves. And if they're already sick, it's absolutely going to exacerbate their illness, you know, whether they have high blood pressure or arthritis. I mean, Dr. Smith can talk about that way better than I can. But this mental health piece, emotional health, you're going to see a lot more emphasis on that in the next few years.
Well, before we even get back to Dr. Smith, I wanted to ask you, Mary Waller, in a situation, a work environment like a major metropolitan hospital, which you guys are, you are around sickness and death and catastrophe and negative outcomes and incredible workloads, a lot. And it has got to be really difficult to keep the employee base not just focused, but up and productive and all that kind of thing. It's an environment most of us can't imagine working in.
Right. It's a stressful environment at the hospital. There's a lot of, like, just with the storm coming in, there's so much that's going on because people are expecting our healthcare workers to be there in case something happens. So, you know, we have folks who are going to be spending the night, you know, we're putting up rooms for people to spend the night because they don't know that they'd be able to travel back because of the roads. We're putting up a daycare center, you know, for our employees because kids are out and that sort of thing. So whenever something goes on, you know, our workers are, you know, used to being in a situation like that. I know when we had that terrible bus accident, everybody really came forward and did a whole bunch. It's sort of like they're almost used to it. But one of the things we know about stress is you can handle stress for a short period of time, but you need to be able to come down from that stress afterwards. We're not made to stay in the stress mode for a long period of time. So you have to have that way to come down from it. So one of the things that Working Well is doing is offering heart math as a way to try to teach people on how to get down out of that stressful mode and what they need to do. And we've had some folks that work at our hospital go through heart math, you know, and try it out. I'm always trying to get people to exercise. That helps you reduce your stress level and do some walking and that sort of thing. But the biggest thing is supporting each other and working, you know, together.
And how much, Dr. Smith, that top-down thing again, if you have a manager or a CEO or someone leading the organization and it's constantly the focus on the numbers and we don't care about the employees, and if you can't do it, we'll find someone who can. And that, you talk about a toxic work environment like Mary was, that'll kill you. It can kill you.
Well, that's what we're finding out. It's not the one Big Mac or the missing the gym one time that's what's killing people. It's the habit of stress and the habit of eating poorly or the habit of not being able to move enough or the habit of having degenerating body and spine. And that's why, Capital Regional has someone like Mary there so that, they've put that into place so that it keeps going because they've invested in their employees to make sure that that's important to their organization.
And that's what you have to use, Mary Burley, when you go out to try to sell the program to other employers, that this is something, it's not what's really in it for you, it's what's in it for the employer and the organization.
Right. It's been an interesting paradigm shift that everybody realized we're really not going to reduce healthcare costs, because the healthcare cost is going to go up no matter what. The engagement, the productivity is really important, but employers understand more than ever now that it's the right thing to do for your employees. And, Becca can really speak to even what the Corporate Cup Challenge meant for them in terms of team building, which is really a huge thing, for companies and employee morale. And there's a lot to be said for the fun factor. You've got to have fun things that your employees can do, and it's nice to get out of the office, The county is wonderful about letting all of our departments have workplace celebration every year. And so we were talking, there was a recommendation to bring like painting in or something, and we would eat lunch in, and everybody's like, no, we want to get out of here. Your employees want to get out, be together, do fun things. But I find the more fun you can add, the more employees buy into it. And employers really see a change in attitude. When that culture starts shifting, it is amazing. And they're like, wow, this really works. And so they know it's just the right thing to do for employees, and I think the employers are that's probably the biggest reason that they get into it now.
Yeah. And Becca Gilbert, what changes have you seen like within Thomas Hall Ferguson as far as the impact of this program on what you guys do?
Well, I think it started, honestly, before we got involved in the Corporate Cup, we have a synergy committee. And the synergy committee is comprised of it could be anyone in the office from in any level. And the synergy committee's responsibility is to really focus on the wellness of our people, and that's the emotional, mental, physical. And so throughout the year, you'll see brain breaks, for example. We have some serious deadlines, and half the building may be on a 4:15 and a 9:15 deadline, and half the building may be on a 6:1 deadline because we work in different industries. And so our synergy committee works on, for example, we have a huge Halloween bash, and it is so much fun, and we do it during the workday, and we have competition and costumes, and it's craziness. And then we have on afternoons building up to some of the big football games, we'll have tailgates in the parking lot, for our firm on a Friday afternoon. During some of the high stress levels, you'll see a cart going around, and it could be, any person from the synergy committee could be pushing it and have snacks on it, which will just kind of give people, options for, hey, here's a snack. Some could be healthy. And then I laugh because some days you see the people grabbing those peanut M&Ms because their stress level is really high and that chocolate helps.
Right before April 15th, yeah, I imagine that's, big.
Well, and like right now, we're under a 9:15 deadline, which is significant as that 4:15 deadline, but it's just not as popular. You don't hear about that one like you do the 4:15. And so, for example, our winning team, one of our CPAs is on that team. He's under that 9:15 deadline, which is exactly why he's not here with me right now.
But playing devil's advocate, or at least employer advocate, I can hear this in the back of my head going, how much is this costing? We don't have that kind of resources. We need our people to be nose to the grindstone, all that kind of thing here. And how do you counter that argument?
Are you looking at me? Well, yeah. for us, I think that it balances itself out, because if you can have, we do a focus, and the shareholders put the focus on that synergy committee to make sure the synergy committee is doing, carrying out what they need, what their ideas are, for having more focus on the wellness of our people. And then they're involved, and then our shareholders are involved. And again, it comes back to the top down. And so it starts with those shareholders. On those days that we've had popcorn, maybe we'll have a surprise popcorn day, one of the shareholders is getting on the phone and alerting everybody, say, all right, everybody get up, get outside. It's beautiful outside. Let's go get some popcorn. And then the shareholders are serving. our team. And so internally, again, it starts at the top down, and we're accountants, and we count, I mean, money. I mean, like, numbers count in our business. And so I know that they see the difference in the focus when we put that focus back on our people. Just like today's a great example. What do you do in a day like today? Do you close your business? Or and you lose all that revenue because nobody's billing, nobody's chargeable right now. Or do you send everybody home? And what do you do? And the shareholders just come back in there. They put it on us. You're adults. Be safe. We want you safe first and foremost. We want you safe. We want your family safe. And it really, you know, just like Doc said, it comes back down to, you know, it's the top. It's the top down.
Yeah, I hear the other little voice in the back of my head now saying, what a great place to work.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Well, and they've even used the trophy for recruiting.
Yes,
I mean, which is something that I think is just so cool.
Yeah, this is radio, guys, but we'll put it on the website here after the program. So you got to see this trophy. This is like something that you would pull off of, you know, the Indianapolis 500 or something. It is awesome. It is a great trophy.
Well, you need to get a team and see if you can win it. Take it from Tom's
house. And it's a traveling trophy. So the fun part was, you know, of course, the day that we won, it was our first competition. It was our first time entering, and we won, and all of us felt like we'd won, even though it was only there was only four people in the winning team, but we all ran up there like a bunch of idiots, you know.
Oh, oh, I remember, I was there.
We won, and everybody's going, "No, y'all get back! It's just the four. We just need the four." And it really was. You talk about a team building effort. We're accountants, so the first thing we did is we went back to last year's results and we pulled the numbers. And we started doing the numbers because that's what we do. And you know, we looked at those numbers and we said, "How can we beat those numbers?" And so then it was really a team effort in the beginning, and then through the planning, and then during that day, I laugh at one of our CPAs. His name is Matt. He his goal was to push Ryan, who's right here in this picture, on the winning team. His goal was to push him across the line first in kayaking, and make sure that Ryan beat him. And I remember standing there going, Matt, do not let Ryan beat you. You don't beat Ryan. You have to push him across. And so we all had our goals. And even though, you know, we knew we were on the winning team, or we weren't going to be the winning team, but we knew we had to push them. And so it was really fun. And so then the team building really, it just escalated right after that. And the trophies started going places.
Yes, and this is the Corporate Cup Challenge. So, Mary Barley, someone is interested in signing up for this and say, boy, this sounds like a wonderful motivator and morale builder and all that kind of stuff.
It is. What do you want to know? How they want to know how to register?
Yeah, exactly.
Go to our website, which is workingwelltoday.org. And you'll click on what we do and click on the Corporate Cup Challenge. And then all of the details of the event will be there and the ability to register will be there. There is an early bird deadline of September 21st to get the lowest price. It's $100 a team. And to get your T-shirt. We have to get the T-shirt orders in. So if you don't register by September 21st, you'll have to pay $140 for a team and get no T-shirt. So go get signed up today.
Yeah, T-shirts are very important. And if you are in the healthcare profession, that bedpan is really cool. And it's functional, too. You know, that's how many of these trophies here don't have any purpose other than to look good on a mantle. But this one, you can do all kinds of things with. How would you get involved with that one, Mary?
Well, what we created at Working Well is a challenge within a challenge. So we came up with an idea to have the healthcare groups, you know, compete with each other. So we came up with the golden bedpan, and the banks came up with the golden piggy bank award so that they're competing with each other. We just wanted to have more winners. You know, it's so fun to have winners, and a lot of these people are not really athletes. They're just out there doing it for fun. So it's a way to have a little fun competition between the groups. And I also want to say that we've got lots of other activities that are going to be going on during the Corporate Cup Challenge. And we have something for folks who don't want to be way athletic but want to do something fun called the Office Olympics. And those are like minute to win it games, and they're teams of two, and it's $15 to register for that. And we're hoping to push the Office Olympics more, and that's just kind of fun thing to watch. And so, you know, Thomas Halfers, I might want to have a Office Olympics team. So
we are gearing up for a couple.
And we have beer this year. It's always a big seller.
Speaking of motivators, yes.
Well, we debated on that one for a long time, but we figured it had barley and hops. And we're so lucky. The new brew bus is going to be shuttling people back and forth from the Lake Lafayette kayak area back up to Pavilion 13. And then they will provide the craft beer. Mary specifically wanted craft beer this year. after the event while the scoring is going on. So lots of things for the kids, a fun run, Capital Region Medical Pediatric Center.
Yeah, the Capital Regional Medical Care is going to be sponsoring the kids' activities. And I was just talking on the phone as I was driving over here with them about what they were thinking about doing. So they're going to have some little limbo contest and hula hoop contest and things like that going on in the kids' area.
Well, that limbo, it's good for the spine, too, Dr.
Right,
Smith.
Oh, absolutely.
But you're creating also an environment here where this becomes cool. This is the accepted culture within an organization, and people don't feel weird about it anymore, or that they're standing out, or they're an iconoclast or something. Hey, this is kind of just the way we do things around here.
Well, that's right. And actually, Mary Barley and I were talking about this last week, where she had read a study about people and their satisfaction with their job and having a buddy at work. Well, these kind of events do build that camaraderie so that there is a, you know, you're happy about going to work because you get to see your buddy and then you get to be training and having a goal towards something. I think that's really important. You know, just even if your company doesn't have anything like this, that this would be an easy way for you to start on something that could build, it'll be some team building and also have some health benefits with it too,
yeah,
disguised
boy.
In there.
Yeah, that. But also, if we're talking bottom line, this is a heck of a lot cheaper than some of the corporate team building exercises where you're shipping employee groups out to some 5-star resort somewhere and they're doing one of these prepackaged programs that can set even a small organization back tens of thousands of dollars. This is a lot cheaper.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you're talking bottom line, Becca. That's the deal. Yeah.
Well, and like you said, it's local. And then you can bring your family. That was a really big one for us because we had some people that didn't want to compete in the challenge, but they brought their family out to walk in the fun run, mm-hmm. or the fun walk. And then, of course, we had the kids that were out and then, of course, the Office Olympics. So,
And we have a special trophy called the Spirit Award that goes to the group that brings the most people out. So you sign up and even little tiny babies count. But if you're there to support your team, then you can compete for the Spirit Award.
Now celebrating 10 years, Tallahassee's Working Well Initiative, some of the leading lights here with us today on Perspectives. Again, still awaiting word from the State Emergency Operations Center over there on Shumard Oaks as to what's going on with the tropical storm. We'll bring that to you as soon as it's made available to us, and you're invited to take part in this program right now. We are back on Perspectives, and we have an update on what's going on with the State Emergency Operations Center. Governor Rick Scott out there with our emergency manager, Dr. Coons, as a follow Hermine and what is happening with that tropical storm. Now apparently drawing a pretty solid bead on Florida's capital city. Noontime is now the anticipated joining of us with that informational session from the State Emergency Operations Center, so we can continue the rest of Perspectives unimpeded here. But we're talking happier things here with the Working Well Initiative. But you were saying, Mary Waller, that besides, I guess, the formal program, the group at Capital Regional that you're overseeing, the groups, plural, you guys do a lot of informal stuff that all plays into this too, right?
Yeah, we try to get together, and not to give away too much of our strategy, but...
It's so competitive,
I know. But anyway, I'm trying to get some of the folks together, and we'll go out there and practice the course, you know, and just kind of do a trial run through. You know, we always want to have our A team, so the folks that are the fastest are, you know, on the A team. I always get new people involved each year because it always seems like there's somebody who else who wants to do it. So I always like to show them the bike route because you can get lost back there in Tom Brown Park on those trails.
Did you know about the garage sale that was going on last year they got caught up in, by the way? Moms and kids.
That's right. Part of the course goes through the Piney Z neighborhood, and last year there was a yard sale going on, and all these bikers were flying through, you know. So
who are these people? What are they doing in our neighborhood? But how do you keep it away, though, from the perception that, oh, it's just for the jocks, the people who are already fit, and I couldn't do that, and I would just feel so out of it? How do you keep it kind of universal so everyone feels they can be a part of this thing? How does that happen, guys? Anybody? Mary?
What? Well, I was going to ask, Becca, you I mean, yeah. You probably have a lot of people in your firm that aren't necessarily real athletic. So how did y'all do that last year? Because you had three teams, which is really a lot for a firm that small and for the first year.
We actually have four teams.
Whoa.
We had four teams, so that was 16 people. And the way I really kind of feel like the way that we looked at it was we all like to get out anyway. And we all like to we're active anyway. And then the fact that we knew my expectation wasn't that I'm going to go in there and I'm going to win the kayak competition, but I could go in there and have a good time and then watch, you know, somebody else be on that team. Then I felt like that's kind of what we all felt. We're like, we want a winning team, but we really want to be there too, because this is going to be fun to watch them win, you know.
All right. And Dr. Smith, that's given the changing demographics here, even as a city as young as Tallahassee is, steadily ages on there. How do you get older folks involved to think, boy, I used to do that when I was in my 20s, but man, in my 50s, are you kidding? I'd kill myself. So how do you bring them into this and say, no, it's for you too?
Well, I think that they had mentioned some of the different awards that we had, the Spirit Award, to be present out there and to be able to cheer on some of the office Olympics that aren't too strenuous on the back. And the other thing is, I think I say 60 is a new 40. You know, I think they're definitely living longer, and people are starting to look for a way that how can we, instead of just adding years to our life, how can we add quality of life to those years, right? So this is a way just to get out there and really to expose people, because to be honest with you, sometimes it may be the first time that someone's even seen kayaking, and maybe they see it and they say, wow, that looks like it would be fun. Maybe, you know, not trying to win a competition, but to be able to just go out maybe to rent one, maybe going out to Lake Bradford or something like that. And that would be a beginning to expose someone to something they may love to do, or even the trails, the bike trails. They could say, wow, I never knew that this even existed, because some people don't. They don't even know that's available in Tallahassee to them.
And you don't even need to be, say, a member of the Gulf Winds Track Club. You can, even just getting out and walking a couple miles a week can make a big difference.
There was a headline last year that was pretty amazing, that if you walk continuously for 2 minutes out of the hour, 2 minutes out of the hour, it reduces your chance of all-cause morbidity by 50%. It's insane. Wow. That it doesn't take that much, because what's happened is we sit for so long that any little bit is going to really help. It's really going to change a person's health and their quality of life.
Yeah, we have four folks that I can almost point to here in this building who now stand to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome.
And they also happen to be among the healthiest folks I know. And then they move around, and it's not the old paradigm, and little things can mean a lot, I guess.
And one of the things, Tom, I know another one of our board members, Heather Fusler, she's a health coach, and you know, she and I talk all the time about, you know, creating a healthy habit, because, you know, people, that's really the most important thing. You can tell people what to do, what to eat, but really they've got to create that habit. And one of the things that she and I always point out to people is, come out to the event. Come out and just see it. And if you come out and watch it, you'll see, hey, these people are just like me. You know, so if you want to start being healthier, to create that habit, you need to be in that environment. So go out to an event like Corporate Cup Challenge and see the people participating, and you'll see you're not too different than they are, and you start to get that habit. And we need volunteers, so I'm all for them coming out. You can go on the Working Well site and just contact us if you want to come out and volunteer. That's a good way to come out and see the event.
There's another event too coming up, Mary Barley, we can talk about. Resilience Advantage Class. What is that?
Well, a couple of years ago, Working Well decided to look at what we were doing. We've never really been fully funded. We don't have staff. We do everything ourselves, and we're
meet
like
the
okay.
staff right here.
And the board. We have such a our board works themselves to death. They really do. And if they didn't feel so passionate about health and wellness, it would never work. And we're very, very blessed that we have people that are willing to do that. But we took a look at, you know, what the biggest issues were, and we came back to this whole thing with mental health prevention, stress, you know, being such an epidemic, and actually costs 2 to 7 times more in healthcare costs than lack of physical activity, obesity, or even smoking. So we thought, what could we do to try to help the workforce, you know, deal with stress better? So at the time, Leon County was already using this HeartMath Advantage class on resiliency, and they show that when people can learn to self-regulate stress, more in the moment instead of letting it build up all day and then all week and then all month. And pretty soon you're maladapted to it. You think there's nothing you can do about it and you just feel hopeless, and that's when you get burned out. That there are just simple little techniques that you can use throughout the day to help plug the energy drains that stress creates for you, and so you have a way to renew your energy, so when you get home at the end of the day, you have the energy to go take that walk. You have the energy to cook instead of drive through the fast food place. You know, you're not as irritable at your, you know, when you get home, so you're not yelling and screaming at your kids and ignoring your husband and all those other things. So anyway, Working Well decided that we would bring that to the community, that we have 85% of the chamber members are businesses of 10 and under, so they can't pay to go into an organization, which, you know, is somebody could pay for this, like a training event. But we can offer it to, you know, people that can come in the community. So even if you don't work, or if you're a small business, or if you're a large business and you just want to send a couple of people, you can do it. So Dr. Smith got certified, licensed to be a heart math provider too. And so we go and team teach it, and it seems to be going pretty well, and people seem to enjoy the class, and it's really helped a lot of people. So
yeah, how does that work, Dr. Smith? Is that like a self-monitoring kind of thing? Here is an early warning sign, something's going on, and I use this technique to turn it around, to diffuse it?
Yes, absolutely. And so Mary was touching on something very important, and here's a little teaser here, is that the biggest drains on us, maybe not necessarily mental or physical or spiritual, they are emotional. And so being able to recognize an emotional pattern or something that happens to you on a daily basis, that's the first step, is being able to recognize that there is a problem that is draining your resources of your body, your energy. And then being able to have a technique to prepare for those kind of events, or to bounce back from those events once they happen. And so there is amazing advances in technology, and it's called biofeedback. It's a way of using technology to be able to let you know what your body is doing in response to a situation, and also how to reset and re-energize. And so it's not a natural thing. In my office, when I say, hey, you know, when we're doing a chiropractic adjustment, I say, hey, relax for the adjustment. And everybody kind of has this look on their face like, right, I don't know how to relax, right? And so this is a way to give someone the tools to be able to do that, to be able to reset emotionally, but to be able to see it on a computer apparatus, so they get feedback on the quality of their ability to do this process.
Oh, it's kind of like that old alpha wave thing with the brain, that if you can see it on a scope, when I do this, my brain does this, and suddenly you're in control again.
Exactly. And I think the title heart math is a little misleading, because sometimes people think, if I'm in shape and my heart's in shape, then I don't need this class. What heart math is really talking about is measuring the heart waves. So there are brain waves, but there are also something called heart rate variability. And it's a way of testing the health of the heart and how it responds to stress. And what we found is that kind of energy or energy waste can disrupt the nerve system. It can disrupt the brain from doing things that would keep the body healthy. And so this technology measures heart rate variability and presents it in a way that someone could look at it and say, without having to know all the math and science that went into it, they could look at a screen and say, oh, I'm getting into coherence, which is the term that they use when the body is in balance, when it's working normally, when the heart and brain are in sync. That's called coherence. And so that's when you're energy building and health building. And so we use the biofeedback as a tool to be able to teach people how to know that the techniques that they're using are working.
So when my grandma used to say, I'm worried sick, she wasn't far wrong.
Grandma was right about a lot of things. We talk about healthy eating and, you know, saying, you know, if your grandmother didn't have it in the cupboard, you probably shouldn't, you know, some of the foods you can't even pronounce the ingredients. Same thing, exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yes. My Lord. Well, folks, I want to get another go around here before we have to shut it down here today, because I'm learning so much. Number one, that a healthy environment is not just where the home is or where the heart is, it also should be where the workplace is. And that can be one of the, since we spend so much time there, one of the major contributors to either a healthy environment or a not so healthy environment. Mary Waller, I you look very, very healthy. I don't know.
Hey, I've been training for that bike race because our team was the top female team. So, yeah, we're hoping to repeat again.
We got a female team. Better tell them.
We'll see how it goes. I just want to say, you know, as president of the Working Well Board, I encourage everybody to visit our website. You know, there's stuff that we have going on that we mentioned, the CEO Breakfast, the Corporate Cup Challenge, and we've got these the Heart Math classes on resilience. And they're all just really important. They're great resources that are here and available to you all. So,
and it really pushes this envelope beyond the eat healthy, get more exercise, and rack up points, and prizes and motivators are nice. But this sounds a lot deeper and with more potential for longevity and really becoming a part of this is the way we do things around here.
Yes, yes. And it's a great group when you come out to Corporate Cup. I mean, these are the folks that are in our community, and I just think it's great. It's a great event.
Okay. Becky Gilbert, your final thoughts here today.
You know what? I like the point that we made about the affordability of the program and being involved. And I just want to encourage other businesses. We feel like we have a target on our back now that we've been blabbing so much about winning. But I just want to encourage other businesses to, you know, if you can only start with one team, then just start, you know, and get out there and hopefully you can build up to multiple teams. But it really is such an amazing program. And the team bonding that happened that day has obviously continued. And we look forward to being out there again this year.
And you guys are a great template also for a lot of the major employers in this area who are law firms and lobbying companies. And that kind of, you talk about stress.
Absolutely.
God, around the legislative session, these people are going berserk, and this is a great way to maybe make those a little bit healthier propositions to operate in.
Absolutely. It was just a ton of fun. I can't even tell you. We even have some of our people moved to our Tampa office, and they're looking forward to coming back for it and bringing some other Tampa people to be involved this year. So it's fun.
Dr. Patrick Smith, any final things you want to talk about?
Well, we do have an upcoming Heart Math class that Mary and I will be team teaching, and that begins on September 22nd. There's information on the website about that. It'll be we're hosting it actually at my office on the northeast side of town off of Capitol Circle. And we're really excited about that. This is, the third one we've had this year. We've had very good feedback everywhere from we've had heads of HR attend the workshop, attorneys, all the way to admin staff. And really, every one of them has been able to apply it very quickly. That's one of the number one feedback we got is you can apply it very quickly. And they've gotten benefit from it. So I'm excited about doing that with Mary here coming up here in a couple of weeks. We're going to be restarting that.
And very scientific, no mumbo jumbo stuff here.
I'm very analytical by nature. So this was right up my alley to be able to see the scientific results. And this kind of technique is being used by the armed services. The Navy has used this very successfully. Also law enforcement across the country. So it's a vetted program that works.
And Mary Barley, the person with whom all of this probably would not have happened without your constant drive and enthusiasm and incredible smile to get people motivated to go out and do this. How do you see Working Well over the next 10 years?
You know, I never thought we'd make it to the first 10 years, and now I'm more enthusiastic than ever. And I just think that the thing that we're most concerned with and that the CEO breakfast really is all about is staying out in front of the trends of what's happening and being able to bring them to the workforce and making them aware of it. And I think it's interesting that even though these two events, the Corporate Cup Challenge and Heart Math class or the Resilience Advantage class may not sound like they're connected, they're very connected because it's really about looking at that emotional stress that we deal with all day and you know, either being able to understand the science behind it and find reasons you want to change and use the biofeedback to tell you or to go out and to, you know, compete in the Corporate Cup Challenge, to be with your coworkers in a fun environment, to get outdoors. And one of the things that Becca didn't talk about, which I think is the coolest thing, is they have taken that trophy everywhere this year. Mm-hmm. They've taken it to basketball games. They got their picture made with Charlie Ward with it. They've taken it to conferences, and they take it to recruiting, and they say, don't you want to be on a winning team? Don't you want to be work with somebody that has a lot of fun? So all of these things are so interrelated, and that's what Working Well hopes to continue, is to demonstrate to people, to keep them abreast of what it is that they need to be working on with their employees and how things are changing and where the responsibilities are, and have fun when we do it. And we do have fun.
And can I piggyback on that real quick? We do surveys for all the activities that we do. So whether it's our holiday party or whether it's our firm forum that we have annually. And one of the things that is always number one on the list on what did you enjoy most is spending time with my coworkers in a relaxed environment. Number one, every time, it blows my mind. They love to be together where they're not having to, you know, pencils crunching or whatever, or computers crunching. But anyway, definitely, I totally agree. It's the together in an outside environment and just the bond.
Yeah, I mean, people want to go to work if they have friends at work. Patrick talked about that. You know, the number one reason people like their job is if they have a best friend at the job.
So, and they work harder and more effectively. No one thinks about, don't you say I got to do overtime. You know, everyone has much more of a tendency than to, hey, this is what we do and this is how we do it, and we have fun doing it.
Absolutely.
Guys, it's been great. Dr. Patrick Smith, Mary Waller, Becca Gilbert, and Mary Barley, all of Working Well Tallahassee, thank you all for coming on Perspectives today. Stay safe, okay?
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox and Lionel Rawls, handling the communications methodologies. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, our discussion will focus, of all things, on suicide, what compels people to take their own lives, and the impact on those left behind, and how healing from the tragedy is possible. We'll talk about it all next week on Perspectives. Please stay safe.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.